I'd like to go to Luke chapter 2, and I'm going to read our scripture text, and then we're going to draw some lessons from it. Luke 2, and I'd like to begin reading at verse 8. And we want to think about those shepherds. Our Jesus is a shepherd, and he took the message God did first to shepherds. And verse 8, Luke 2 says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace on those on whom his favor rests.' When the angels left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' And so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." Father, I pray that you'll bless your word to our hearts and give us insight and wisdom as your people to understand what you have for us. Thanks. Amen. You know, you'd probably never think about hiring God to do your PR work, your promotional work. You know, he had one of the most important messages of all time, and he wanted to get it out. And while he had the power to do anything and everything, he chooses to do things that would probably seem a little bit odd to you. So take the matter of him advertising the birth of his son there in Bethlehem. Look at what he did. Now, here's how we would have done it. We would have had God's son birthed in a very comfortable room in a very big city hospital. Not there in the stable. Pee-hoo. We would have given advance warning to the photographers and the crowds, and you know, there'd been news crews there, and we would have wanted them to take pictures before, during, after, and we would have wanted a lot of important people there to be in those pictures. We would have set up some kind of amazing fireworks display over Jerusalem. I mean, the birth of the Son of God would have deserved all of that. We would have had billboards up. There would have been noise, media ads. We would have worked to have celebrations by the multitudes. We'd have probably offered free food and drink, and that would have brought them. And the next day, after the day the king was born, people would have known with a certainty that something important had happened in Bethlehem that day. But did it happen that way? Nope. Not at all. Well, God, let's look at how he communicated his message. First of all, let's look at the recipients of his message. I want you to realize in verse 8, there were shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks at night. The first thing God tells us about the shepherds is that they were really lowly men. Shepherds. Although shepherding and sheep herders were a big part of the Jewish culture, they were not all that respected in many, many ways. They were like, well, in West Virginia, we called them hillbillies. They weren't Mountain Williams, they were hillbillies, those shepherds out there. In Florida, we used to call them rednecks. I don't know what it is around here. But you know, shepherds as a whole class of individuals were pretty much despised for a lot of different reasons. One is they violated Jewish ceremonial law pretty much all the time. They had to work on the Sabbath because the sheep didn't take a day off. And then there were times you'd be touching or handling dead sheep, and that would just mess up your ceremonial cleanliness. And it would keep you from doing a lot of the worship things if you were to go downtown Jerusalem. Then two shepherds as a class were considered unreliable. You could not use their testimony in court. They were uneducated. They were rough. They were social misfits. And their word just wasn't all that reliable. So why in the world do you think God chose the shepherds? Why did he start there? Well, we're really not told in the text why he did, but you know, he had a really good reason. Maybe we can determine that. I think perhaps he's trying to let us know that when this baby was born, that baby was being born for all people, from the lowest to the highest. You could say, well, yeah, I know he's coming for the highest, but is he coming for the lowest of all humans? And God's answer to that was yes. The Jews said, you violate the law. And God said, the ceremonial law is not going to matter anymore. What Jesus does is what's going to matter. The Jews said, you guys are unreliable. And God says, I trust you. I trust you. And then Jews said, you can't give testimony in our courts. And Jesus and God said, your testimony about my son will be exactly what I need. And I trust you to give that testimony. I think God's saying to us, he's reaching out to all people. He wants everybody to be a part of what he's doing. That would be me and you and all of us, no matter where we fit in life and society and culture, no matter what others think of us, he has a place for us. In Luke 19, verse 10, Jesus said this, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. If you fit into the lost category, and you do, some people won't admit it, but he came for you. I came to seek and to save the lost. And so we see him up at the well there, and he's talking to this real lowly Samaritan woman that everybody else has despised because he came to seek and to save the lost. She was lost. And then we have him talking to that very sophisticated and very highly educated and probably very wealthy Nicodemus. And he's saying to him, you got to be born again. But I want you to be a part of what I'm doing. Be born again. And then he talked to the fishermen down by the sea. In fact, not only did he talk to them, he called some of them to be his own people and disciples and to follow him and spread his message. And then you remember he called out to that tax collector that was up in the tree. And he said, Zacchaeus, you come down. I need to go to your house today. And we're going to eat. We're going to talk together. And he also tried to talk to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the zealots, the prostitutes, the sinners. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. I think God wants us to know that. His birth was for all. To Joseph, he said, give him the name Jesus. That's the word that means Savior, Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And then he was told, name him Emmanuel, Matthew 1:23, which means God with us. Every one of those names tells us something about Jesus and his purpose and what he was here to do. Isaiah prophetically says in Isaiah 53, verse 4, surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. For he was pierced by our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. So God must have smiled, I think, as he chose these men to be his messengers. And he's going, you know, there are a lot of people not going to understand what I'm doing. but it's the right thing to do. These guys were in the family business. You know, Jesus was a shepherd. God declares himself a shepherd. And these guys were out in the field taking care of the lambs that were going to be offered at Passover not too many more months down the road. And they were being grown and raised right there outside of Bethlehem, which wasn't too far from Jerusalem and the temple and where they would be needed as sacrifices. And so Jesus identified with them so much because he was the shepherd. And Matthew 2:6 has the prophecy, Bethlehem, out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. He's the shepherd. So he's the shepherd, John 10 tells us, who knew his sheep by name. And if you belong to Jesus, he knows you, everything about you. He knows your name, and it's personal. He's the shepherd who leads his sheep. You need direction, look to your shepherd. He's the shepherd who was the gate of the sheep, so he was the protector of them at night and during the day as well. He's the good shepherd who would lay down his life for his sheep. So Jesus really identified with those people. And he says, I'm a shepherd, let's let the shepherds do it. And so that's what happened. So those are the recipients of the message, just lowly men. But God says, my message is for everybody. But now let's talk a little bit about the radiant messengers that came. You remember that old TV series called Touched by an Angel? You know, at the age of this group, I'm sure. I think it was on somewhere there in the late 90s. And I'd seen somewhere where they're bringing it back on one of the streaming services. The whole 8 or 9 years it was on. Did you notice how the angels in the cast light up at the end of every episode when they're giving a message? So they just got this glow around them. They had to turn on all those big spotlights behind them, I guess. Just a slight glow of light. But that doesn't happen here. Oh my. Here, there's something big happening. It says an angel of the Lord appeared to them. So here comes angel messenger number one. He gets to deliver the message. And it says the glory of the Lord shone around them. I've often wondered here, the shepherds are down here. They're probably on a hillside. Was the angel above them? I mean, was he up in the air and it just stopped there about 6 feet up? So his feet are dangling and the glow just come off of that and shed out on the shepherds. Did he come right down on ground level? Did he go on terrain that was below them or above them? We're really not told, but he got the message communicated. Perhaps that was the important thing. And it says that the glory shone. There was a brightness to him. You're not going to miss this. It's out there at nighttime. We don't know what hour, but it's dark. And when it's dark, a light stands out. We're assuming that the angel was very bright and that the light emanating from him lit up not only the shepherds, but maybe some of the sheep as well. I'm sure one of those sheep is opening his eye a little bit. What is going on? Did not know. The fact of the matter is it got their attention. Nobody missed this messenger coming. Notice what it says here. The glory of the Lord shone around them and they were, what's the word in your Bible? Afraid? Terrified. Terrified. In the Greek, and you could probably figure this out without me even explaining, but the fear is mega phobia. So mega gives you the idea what? Whoo, it's a big one. It's a big what? Phobia. Fear. It's a big fear. I think terrified is a great word to put there in our English language. And so these guys are filled with fear. It's a fear of awe. I think they understood they were in the presence of a being that was much greater than them. And you know, you look back through the Old Testament, when angels showed up in the presence of men, men bowed. Men fell on their face. men lost their strength as they were laying there in front of the angels. God got their attention. I think God was trying to strike a balance between too bright and not bright enough. And I think he did it exactly right. He says, I want to get their attention, but I don't want to scare the life out of them. And that could have happened too, I suppose. God's glory. God loaned those angels glory that might shine at this moment. And what an amazing thing. You know, the glory of God was in the temple in the Old Testament. After Moses built the tabernacle, it came down and was there. It was the what we call the Shekinah glory. And it lit up the sky at night. And then when Solomon built the temple, it says that glory moved into the temple. And it was so bright and awesome that for a time, people couldn't even go in. They had to all leave because it was too intense, too much, too bright. You know, what a glory experience. Would you like to have a glory experience like that? See an angel, have them talk to you? Well, you know, I think that we could have an experience like that, not with an angel, but with the scripture. Psalm 19 says, the commands of the Lord are radiant. Commands of the Lord are radiant. And Psalm 119, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So every time God speaks, it lights up our lives. And boy, when that angel speaking God's word said something from God, it lit up their world. And our world can light up that way too. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You want life? You got to come to Jesus. He's the only one that has it. So that's the radiant messenger. Now, let's look at the revealing. What is the message that's going to come out of this? Well, he says something like this. Don't be afraid. I'm bringing you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Now, I think we would agree that there's not a whole lot of good news in our society today, is there? I mean, we don't get joyful when we've turned on the news and we've watched and listened and we've heard all the talking heads give their opinion and everything. Not much joy. But when God's messenger speaks, there's joy in the land. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. And we need good news and we need great joy. And it comes from God. Then he says, this is for all the people. It's not just for you shepherds. You got to spread this everywhere you go. And you notice they started doing that immediately when they were coming back out of Bethlehem. Today, in the town of David, today. You know, when Jesus was born, it was exactly the right time for him to be born. It was exactly the moment, the night, the day that God had waited for ever since Genesis 3 when he told Eve, one of your kids is going to bash the head of the devil. And so it was in that moment. Galatians 4:4 talks about it being the fullness of time. Jesus wasn't one day early. He wasn't one day late. He was right on time. And so today, in the town of David, that was prophetic, because Micah chapter 5 and verse 2 says that's the town where Jesus was going to be born, in Bethlehem. And that was the town of David. That was where David was born and raised as well. You know that. A Savior has been born to you. He's somebody coming to rescue you. Again, back to Genesis 3. You know, Adam and Eve, you really messed up. You gave life and enjoyment, and you lost all that. But I'm going to give you somebody who's fully human, who's going to take it all back for you. And Jesus came as God in the flesh and bought it all back for us. He's a Savior. We're going to be in heaven someday because he rescued us. We're not going to get there on our own. And if somebody asks you, you know, How do you know you're going to heaven if you start off and say, well, I was baptized, I joined a church, I did this, I did that? No, 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 no. None of that's going to get you into God's presence. It's Christ. Look what Jesus did for me. He died on a cross for me. His shed blood covers my sin. He's the Savior. And then he goes on to say he's the Messiah. So he's the one the Old Testament kept pointing to and saying, the Messiah is coming, the Christ is coming. By the way, Messiah is the Old Testament name, and Christ is New Testament. So one is Hebrew, one is Greek. It's the same thing. Messiah, Messiah, the Christ, the Lord. So that's what God sends us. He gave us a Savior. He gave us a Messiah who's going to rule and reign one of these days from Jerusalem. And he is the Lord. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amazing person. Somebody has said that if our greatest need was for information, God would have sent us an educator. And if our greatest need was for technology, God would have sent us a scientist. And if our greatest need was for pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. And if our greatest need was for money, God would have sent us an economist. But since our greatest need is for rescue, salvation, and forgiveness, he sent us a Savior. And I thank God that he did just that. Then notice the sign. This will be a sign to you. And just think of this. Okay, let's read the sign. You will find the babe. You'll find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. I'm not quite sure how they changed diapers back then, but anyway. Lying in a manger, that put the baby in some sort of an animal stall. Now think how odd this is. Today in the town of David, a Savior, big name, Savior, Messiah, the Lord, and he's going to be in a stable, laying there in that trough where they put the hay and everything, or that cattle might eat. That's funny. When you really think about it, that is a strange thing. Well, what a relevant message for their day, and what a relevant one for our day as well. So that's the message. Now, there's a lot of raves over that message, because there's a whole crowd then. It says in verse 13, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, that first spokesperson, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. So suddenly, all of a sudden, bam, there they are. They just step out of the darkness, and now all of them are radiating light. It's a great company. You know, when you think about it, probably every angel in heaven wanted to come. Come on, send me, Lord. And I think the Lord looked over and he saw this small choir of angels. He goes, you guys get to go. You've been practicing the right song, so you go, you go. But I think the angels were really excited about this. I don't know if they completely understood what was happening, but they were excited. And it says that there was a host of them, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host. That would probably be a term that would mean army. So there's like a great army that shows up to talk to the shepherds. Now, this is really strange, because you have an army that's coming with a message of peace. How often do you see something like that? Armies fight, they kill, they destroy, they break things. Not this army. It comes delivering peace. And so, first of all, by the way, there's a lot of folks make a big deal out of the fact that these guys are not singing, they're just saying. Okay? I don't think I want to go that far. They're praising God and they're saying. Maybe both of those go together into a song. But the message is the most important thing. So I think that's why Luke is probably pointing in that. Glory to God. They're recognizing God's position and they're excited and thrilled, as we should be as we contemplate that Jesus has come. Glory to God. And then on earth, peace. Peace. God offers us peace. You have peace in your life? There's only one place to get peace. And it's not going to be the politicians running around the world. Might work for a while. But if we want peace in our hearts, we have to have the King of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, to live inside of us. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace, peace. To those on whom his favor rests. So the angels want us to know God's not mad with humans right now. This is the age of peace and grace and forgiveness and salvation. So come to him, come to him, come to him. How God must want to bring peace to the world. You and I get really tired of war, problem between people, problems in families, problems here at work and everywhere else. Don't you get really tired of it? As a pastor, I'm about worn out from all the issues through the years. And God, he looks down at everything, everywhere, and every relationship, and every life, and he says, boy, those people need peace. So I'm going to give it to them. I'm going to give it to them. And that's why Jesus came. Peace to those on whom his favor rests. We have God's favor. He's for us. He wants good things for us. And that's why he made it possible. As in Hark the Herald, we just sang a while ago, peace on earth and mercy mild. That's what they sang, peace on earth, peace on earth. Well, let's talk a little bit about the response. There in verse 15, it says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. I wonder how long it took them to compose themselves. I mean, here they had just seen a messenger from heaven. They had gotten his message. They're shaking and trembling in fear, and the whole body is probably working against them right at that point. How long did it take them to say, hey, I'm feeling a lot better now. I think we should go to Bethlehem and check this out. We're not told. But I love the fact that they believed. They were people of faith, and they stepped out and went forward and said, we believe what the angel said is true. Come on, let's go. And the idea there is they kept on saying that. Come on, let's go. Come on, some of us have to go. And you wonder how they determined. I mean, if I'd have been there, I think I'd have wanted to go. Wouldn't you want to go check it out? Even if it's just a baby in a manger? And Mary and Joseph? Well, some of them were probably saying, we want to go, we want to go. And some of them were saying, well, we don't want to stay with the sheep. We're tired of this. Let's go to town. Boy, the message, they believed it, and it stirred them to action in the same way that the message ought to stir us to action as well. A lot of people in the scripture saw the miracles, but they wouldn't believe. A lot of people today hear the message, but they won't believe. It's like their heart's stubborn. Why not? But these guys, they believed. They responded. You know, if a material is made of the right stuff, a magnet will quickly catch them up. So the material responded to that magnet. And if a heart is right before God, we're quickly drawn to him as well. response to the message. Boy, they had one. And before long, they're headed off to town, running in the night. I hope it was a full moon. Maybe they were used to the darkness. Let's look at another thing here. I want to point out the rightness of the message. They hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. And down to verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Bullseye. The angels told them exactly what they were going to find, and that's exactly what they found. There's no twisting, no lies. Every detail was exact. Every detail. Let me just tell you this in passing. Whatever God says to us in His Word is exactly the way it's going to be. And someday we will know. And so people love to argue about creation. How did it happen? Well, God did it. He told us that's what He did. And then others argue about the flood. Yes, there was a flood, a worldwide global flood. Scripture says it happened, it happened. We can trust what God said. We were told that Jesus was virgin born. He was. That Jesus is God on earth. He was. We are told that Jesus came out of the tomb. He was resurrected. He did. And He's coming again. And that's going to happen too. Whatever God tells us is true. Romans 3 verse 4 says, "Let God be true and every human being a liar." One of the paraphrases says this, "God keeps His word even when the whole world is lying through its teeth." And I'm afraid we're living in a day where the whole world in relation to spiritual stuff is lying through their teeth. God tells us the truth. Notice what comes out of this. They are rejoicing. Verse 17, when they had seen Him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told them about this child. I mean, you couldn't shut them down. They were saying and talking. Was it hard for them to witness? Now, wait a minute. You guys, you saw an angel? Sure you did. Did you get drunk tonight out there on the hills? Did you bang your head on a rock? Did people laugh at them? No, they just started talking. If you wanted to believe them, you could. If you didn't want to, you didn't have to. But they told everything they knew. That's being a good witness. And then it says in verse 18, "And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them." Verse 20 then, "The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen." Woo! Changed their night. Happy, bouncing, racing, enjoying, thinking about what they knew. They're probably thinking, what does it mean, Savior? And one of them's probably thinking, boy, I could use some saving from all the stuff I've done. And I wonder how many of them kept track of that little boy as he grew up, moved away to Egypt, and then came back. They were glorifying God. They were boasting about God. They were praising Him. And they weren't doing that because they had seen an angel or a baby, but I think they were thrilled over the message. The one we've been waiting for. I don't know, maybe these guys had conversations about Old Testament prophecy. Yeah, the Messiah's got to come one of these days. So they were thrilled and tickled pink that He had come. Ned and I were somewhere this week where I heard a preacher give a short devotional, and he said something and just, wow. And I had to take it and put it in my sermon because I didn't have this first. But he said that this episode in the shepherd's life is an answer for us. It's the answer for life. So I better explain that. And it's, you know, the shepherds, they had a pretty dull job. I mean, pretty dull job. Bleating of sheep in their ears all the time. What a job. Sheep are boring. Life is hard. Out in the rain, out in the cold, staying out at night. Dull job, boring sheep, hard life. But they got the message, and then they went to see Jesus. And they spent some time there with him. Now, what are they doing when they came back? They're jumping, shouting, witnessing, worshiping, rejoicing. It's like they changed lives when they went to see Jesus. They came back to the same old profession, the same old dull job, the same old boring sheep, the same hard life, but now they're rejoicing. You can just hear them out there on the hills. They're humming. Some of them are singing, and the ones that can't sing hum. You can just hear it, can't you? And the point was made that the answer to our lives and the feeling we often have is go get in the presence of Jesus. It's amazing what that will do. Go get in the presence of Jesus. Sure made a difference for those shepherds. So what do you think of God's way of advertising? I think he kind of got the job done, didn't he? Because here we are all these years later. And we know, I think he reached his market. There's a story told of something that happened years and years and years ago, but there were two men who were standing on Fifth Avenue at 57th Street in New York City. It's a pretty busy, bustling spot in New York, intersection. And it was during the Christmas rush, and they were waiting for a red light. They were trying to just walk across the street, and the traffic kept coming, and the lights weren't working quite right, and they couldn't get across. And one of them got really irritated. He said, "Look at, you know, this town, it's totally disorganized. Look at the traffic. It's terrible. Somebody ought to do something about this." And he just was negative. But the other man's looking at all this, and he gets this faint little smile on his face, and he's more philosophical. And he said, "You know, it's really astounding when you think about it. Just think about it for a moment. There was a baby born of poor peasant parents in a little out-of-the-way place halfway around the world from here. The parents had no money and no social standing, yet 2,000 later, that little baby that she gave birth to creates a traffic jam on Fifth Avenue, one of the most sophisticated streets in America." And he said, "This irritates you? Ha! It ought to fascinate you." He affects us even today, doesn't he? So God has sent us a message. God invites us into a relationship with his son. This little baby grew up to be a man. And this man offered himself to death and crucifixion to forgive your sin and my sin and to make us a part of what he's doing. You can be a part of that if you'll put your trust in him. So trust him today as your Savior. "Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm broken. I'm ruined. I'm messed up. I have no peace. I have no joy. I need all of that. I need Jesus. And I'm turning to him. I'm trusting you today." You can do that even today. And then I challenge us to walk with him through our lives. Every day, Christian, day by day, walk with him through his Holy Spirit. Let's stand and pray together, shall we? Today would be a great day to meet Jesus. I'd be glad to talk to you for a bit about that, if you'd like to trust the Lord. He's here. He's willing to make another son or daughter in his family. Father, thank you so much that your advertising scheme worked, because those shepherds told people in Bethlehem, and that message went out, and, you know, that message really went around the world. And we've heard it today, clear down here 2,000 years later, clear over here in another whole continent. and we read the story and we hear the news. And Father, that little baby was a Savior born for us. And he is the Christ, the Messiah, who's going to sit on the throne of Israel. What an exciting thing that is for us. I pray that if there's someone here this morning who does not know Jesus as personal Savior, that today they might come to him. What a great day to be born again here in December on what should be one of the coldest nights and days of the year. Thank you so much that salvation can be had even now. Help us not to turn and run anymore, but help us to come to the Savior today. Father, we're reminded of how much Jesus loved us because he was willing to come and be born in that manger and in that stable and to live with us. And so thank you for that. And oh, how he loves you and me. Bless our time as we think about this, and don't let us get away from your Spirit. Amen. Amen.